It's hard not to be awestruck by Bob Massey's survival instincts, and it's impossible not to come away inspired by the work he's done as a parish minister, an environmental advocate, and a champion of economic fairness. With the precious life Bob Massey has been given, and illness has been part of his life from the start.
When I was born with hemophilia, I didn't think about it very much because it was part of my consciousness right from the beginning. I had this illness that caused swelling in the joints and made it hard for me to walk and sometimes hard for me to use my arms and because of the bleeding into the joint space. But I didn't know any other life, and it actually took me some time to realize that this was really very unusual compared to other people and certainly other children my age.
In the United States each year, only 1 in 5,000 baby boys is born with hemophilia, a painful and potentially crippling disorder that impairs the body's ability to stop bleeding. As a child, Bob Massey spent long stretches out of school battling the effects of hemophilia. He was often isolated from peers. But Bob had supportive parents, both authors, who collaborated on a Pulitzer Prize-winning biography entitled Nicholas and Alexandra, later adapted to an Academy Award-winning film. It was a topic they became fascinated by, partly because the Russian imperial family also had a child with hemophilia.
I wore leg braces because I had lost the ability to walk without them, and I very quickly realized that people were instinctively nervous around me. You know, they saw me come in and, you know, even if I was wearing long pants, they could tell that there was all this metallic gear under my pants and I couldn't walk with it. So a very interesting experience for me right from the beginning was learning to cope with people's instinctual fear and learning to overcome it, learning to project a certain self-confidence, optimism that allowed people to feel comfortable in my presence. And it's interesting, I've actually had several discussions with African-American friends. There's some parallels here to people who grow up in a minority race. They come into a room and people immediately notice something about them. And often the person who's in the minority has to project a sense of confidence. And that's in some ways very unfair, but it's a reality the way human beings operate with each other.
So how do you think through the question of why these difficulties came to you?
Well, first of all, I'm a Christian. And so almost everything that happens to me, I do link back to my faith. Now, my image of God is not a God who visits terrible things on people, but a God who cares about people as they go through terrible things. And I, right from the beginning, realized that I was a person with who had received a mixed package. I had a severe illness that could be very painful and very difficult, but I also had loving parents. I lived in the United States. My parents were middle class, and I had certain privileges that I knew very quickly were not available to other people in the U.S. or overseas particularly. So it was a kind of a mixed package. I never, and I don't know exactly why, I never really sat there wondering bitterly, why me? I think it was, again, because I was born with something that I gradually became aware of, and then a sequence of things unfolded. There were certainly many opportunities to ask why me. Why did I get hemophilia? Why was I exposed to the HIV virus? Why didn't I die after a few years? At the time, I was exposed to it in 1978, and people didn't usually live very long. In 1994, I was still alive after 16 years. And I finally went to a doctor's and said, can you explain this? And it turned out that I had a very, very rare genetic mutation that prevented me from getting HIV. So there was the why me of that.
In his memoir, A Song in the Night, Bob Massey describes serving as a student intern in the U.S. Senate in the mid-1970s. because blood transfusions are part of a hemophiliac's life. He spent time during the internship researching the global trade in blood products. Bob was distressed to learn that companies were collecting blood from poor and sometimes unhealthy donors. In 1978, then a student at Yale Divinity School, he became acutely ill and was forced to withdraw for a time from his studies, an episode Bob now realizes was the initial sign of HIV infection contracted through a tainted transfusion. HIV was replicating in his body, but the virus was being suppressed, and mysteriously, he never got AIDS.
I had the genetic strangeness of my original hemophilia. I had the strange lottery that I got HIV. Then I had the strange outcome that I was resistant to HIV. And then I had the peculiar result that I was exposed to hepatitis and got liver disease and on and on and on. So this has been a road with incredible twists and turns in it. All I can say is that at each moment, I tried to accept where I was and hang on to my really deep conviction that life is a gift no matter how long it is. And it turns out I was given, initially I thought I was going to be given a much shorter portion, and now I've realized I'm likely to have a more normal portion. And both of those things are mysteries. When you live with that many mysteries, and what I would say is a great deal of grace, when you're surrounded by huge, unexpected, unmerited opportunities, it does change who you are.